From the Youth Media Center at SLB Radio, you're listening to Finding Your Voice. We spent 2 weeks at summer camp planning, writing, and recording together in hopes of learning more about our voices and ourselves. Won't you join us by the campfire for a little while? My name is Chanel, and I am here with
Laura,
Waylon,
Sam,
Sue,
I'm Annika,
I'm Lisa,
I'm Ira,
I'm Olivia,
I'm Amir,
I'm Ryan.
There's a lot we'd like to share with you, but first, let's talk about how we feel about our own voices. So, Sam, how do you feel about your own voice?
It's pretty cool, I'd say.
How many different accents can you do?
A few. Not very well, that is, but a few.
How about you do one?
I'm in Boston. I have a car, crab juice, and I don't know what Bostoners think about other things.
That was great.
Thank you.
Laura, what do you think about your own voice?
I feel that my voice does change, especially when I'm talking to different people, especially when I'm like speaking a different language, like in Spanish. It's my first language. My voice, like tone, goes like higher, and in English, it's like deeper.
Well, Chanel, what do you think about your voice?
When I have to like talk in front of people, then like my voice will like have the randomest voice crack. My voice just kind of goes like a little bit. I don't know.
My voice is just a voice, nothing more, nothing less. Usually when I'm at school, like in class, my voice just kind of goes quieter. And it's actually gotten to the point where the teachers actually lowered my grade because like grades are also determined by participation. And like I just don't participate that much. Whenever I'm with my friends, I've noticed that sometimes my voice gets like higher pitched. And whenever I'm with like my parents, my voice gets like lower. Sometimes when I'm call with my friends, like they're like we're on phone with each other. So they're like, what happened to your voice? It sounds so low.
It's time to share some more of what we explored during our time together. Pass the marshmallows.
I'm always interested in how my perception of myself is different from others, how they perceive me.
Same. In knowing how other people perceive you, you can change how you perceive yourself.
It gets complicated. Let's hear what other people have to say about perception.
You know how we were like having all these pictures taken of us recently?
No.
Like,
that's
how do you guys feel about that?
I personally hate pictures unless I just don't. Like, I'm just not like that. I just don't like pictures.
They edit the school pictures so bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm not, like, much of a picture person either. I just feel like I look so goofy in all the pictures.
Like, absolutely. It's like everyone
that's
looks...
not what I look like in real life.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. It's like everybody looks so graceful, and then there's just me.
I do not
look like that.
Oh, my gosh. I definitely feel like that, too. I can't pose. I can't figure out how to, like...
What am I supposed to do?
I feel like I make the weirdest poses because I'm trying too hard. I just don't know
yes.
what to do, man.
But then if that's I don't real. Try, I'll look weird
exactly.
either way. So
I just,
it's like a... Yeah, it's
I've
just,
learned I look weird.
Yes. Gotta love yourself that way.
Yeah. It's difficult. Like, I feel like I try to look good, but I also just tell myself, you know, this isn't gonna end up good anyway. Don't get your hopes up.
Like, I'm gonna forget this in, like, 20 years, so I will not care.
Fair. But, yeah, it can be, like, kind of nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I do, like, personally, I'm sorry if I ever do this to you. I won't do this to you because, you know, but, like, taking pictures of other people and things that are happening because, oh, my gosh, it sounds so weird now that I said what I said. No, I mean, like, people that are close to me because it's really important to me to have, like, memories of this stuff and stuff like that. And, yeah, I go overboard now that we're talking about it. I'm like... People might feel that way. I should not be doing that to them.
Yeah, it's... For me, I'll literally just be sitting on the front porch just listening to music, and then I'll just look somewhere, because I'm, like, outside, obviously, if I'm out on the front porch. Mm-hmm. But I'll just be looking at something and be like, this is a great, like, picture-worthy looking.
Yeah.
I'll literally take pictures of random things. I'll just be like, oh, I like the way my cat is sitting. Picture.
Aww.
I like the way the sun is out in the sky. Picture. Like, half of my camera roll is just pictures of, like, outside scenery, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, that's a pretty cloud. And then store just so cooked.
Yeah, I just want to remember. Like, it's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's, like, the most mundane things. Like, I don't know. I'm, like, scared.
Yeah.
I keep this box in my room filled with, like, items that are, like, connected to, like, a memory.
Yeah, there's just, like, a random, like, ball of fur. No one knows what it is, but we, like, I do. Yeah. They're like, what's that? Oh, it's a long story.
Preserving memory is important.
Yeah, every memory, no matter how small or personal, is worth keeping.
Memories are kind of like small museums in a way.
Totally.
Join us for a guided tour through some students' museums of themselves.
Thank you for visiting the Museum of Wayland on July 14th, 2025. Hi, my name is Wayland, and today I'll be leading you on a tour through the Museum of Myself. Over here on the left, there's a piece that combines some things about me. I am very scared of deep waters, and my favorite color is cyan. I really want traveling in my future. Moving along, you'll see one of the most important pieces in the museum. This is a computer I put in an indestructible glass because it means a lot to me and I use it a lot. Finally, I'd like to acknowledge those who made all this possible. This collection was made possible by my mom. She has done so much for me and pushes me to my limits. She has made the person that I am today. Thank you for visiting the Museum of Myself. Recording from the Youth Media Center at SLB Radio, this is Waylon signing off.
Hi, my name is Ira, and today I'll be leading you on a tour through the Museum of Myself. Over here on the left, there's a piece that combines some things about me. Number one, my favorite color is yellow. Number two, something I'm afraid of is spiders. And something I want in the future, number three, is money, as we all generally do. Moving along, you'll see one of the most important pieces in the museum. This is my phone. Not to be a screenager, but it's my most prized possession because it has a lot of important project files on it. And I would be very sad if I dropped it in the lake or something. So finally, I'd like to acknowledge those who made this all possible. Number one, my sister, because she's my goat. And number two, my friends, because they listen to me yap a lot. And my parents for supporting me. Thank you for visiting the Museum of Myself. Recording from the Youth Media Center at SLB Radio, this is Ira Pathay signing off.
Thank you for visiting Museum of Strange Stuff in My Head. My name is Mark. Today I'm gonna lead through the Museum of Myself. Over here on the left, there's a piece that combines the same things about me. My favorite color is green. I'm scared of wasps. And I don't know about the future. Moving along, you'll see one of the most important pieces in the museum. This is my computer. It means practically a lot to me because I use it for modeling, gaming a bit, a little bit of gaming. I'm not gaming so much. Yeah, that's all. Finally, I'd like you to acknowledge those who made this all possible. Thanks to my mom, my dad, they helped me a lot with everything. They supported me. They did practically everything. Thank you for visiting Museum of Myself, recording from Youth Media Center at SLB Radio. This is Mark signing off.
Hi, my name is Chanel. I'll be leading you on a tour through the museum myself. Over here on the left, there is a piece that combines some things about me, such as my favorite color, something I'm scared of, and what I want for my future. This is in like a golden frame. As you can see, it's platinum gold, 24 carats. Then the face is a clown. I don't know if you can really tell, but it has the red hair, the red nose, like some blue, like kind of blush on its cheeks. But the outfit that the clown is wearing is scrubs, because I want to be a surgeon when I get older, so that's definitely something I like really want in my future. Moving along, you'll see one of the most important pieces in this museum. This is my digital camera. My digital camera is one of my most prized possessions because I've had it for like kind of a long time, and it just holds a lot of memories, like pictures from like middle school for my promotion, since I won't be going to the middle school I used to go to anymore. It's like a dark pink, but not like really red. And it has like a little band that you can like put on your wrist and like hold it. So yeah, that's definitely one of my most prized possessions because it just has a lot of memories from really fun times in my life.
Finally, I like to acknowledge those who made all this possible. This collection was made possible by my mom and my friends and family, because like my mom birthed me. She's definitely helped me grow in as a person, like taught me many things, and so have my friends. My friends have definitely like developed like my sense of humor, my fashion kind of. That's all. Thank you for visiting the Museum of Myself. Recording from the Youth Media Center at SLB Radio, this is Chanel signing off.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you recent news in the United States of America, specifically in the regions of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. There's been a recent phenomenon, as some wish to call it, of a pill masquerading as normal medicine. Victims who have taken this medication have reported having their bodies found in seemingly random locations. If you believe you have taken one of them, please... What do you mean? One moment, ladies and gentlemen, something has come up.
Some of my favorite memories are the ones that make me laugh or smile. Let's see if anyone has any funny stories to share.
My name is Olivia. I'm a 7th grade student at ECS. This is just a story about my grandpa. One night, my grandpa fell asleep with a box of donuts on his lap. I'm not joking, a raccoon chewed through the screen door and saw the box of donuts on his lap. The raccoon started to eat the donuts, and my grandpa thought that the raccoon was my Aunt Laura's cat. My grandma woke up and woke up my dad. My dad goes, "Should we wake him up?" My grandma goes, "No, just let it happen." The next morning, my grandpa wakes up and goes, "I think Laura's cat ate my donuts." And to this day, no one has told him that it wasn't Laura's cat.
We had this trip to this camp, and yeah, we were sleeping in tents, right? And what we had for dinner, right, was we had steak, beans, and potatoes.
Yum.
Beans. And then, okay, yeah, so we do this all this hiking and stuff, and then when we go to bed, we're in the tent, right? Yeah. And what happened was these, like, 5 kids that were in my tent, they started laughing for no reason, and then I pull out a fart.
A fork?
A fart.
Oh. That's how you know when it's really bad, when he had to fart.
And then the one kid in my cabin crashed out because we were getting yelled at because we were farting so much. The kid who crashed out gets up. Then the little kid, he's running out the tent. And then behind him, he starts farting in front of him while the dude's running at him. And then, bro, he fell on the mud. We were still laughing all night.
I'm glad we know each other a little bit better now, but I don't know anything about where we are.
Our camp is set up on Pittsburgh's north side. Should we go on a hike to explore the area and see who we meet?
When exploring the north side, we started by talking to Jay, who was visiting Randyland for the first time.
Do I have to pick a favorite thing? How someone can look at garbage and see this?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Most everything looks like it was trash or broken, but you could turn it into something like this.
Across the street from Randyland is Mayfly.
My name's Parker. I'm doing pretty good. I'm at work. I'm happy. I'm not feeling too bad. So right now we're at Mayfly Market over in the north side near Randyland. So we have really good sandwiches and baked goods, and I eat a lot of cookies every day, and that's always really nice, and I sample a lot of the sorbets, so I like having lots of treats. So we're actually owned by an awesome lady named Anne. I know she really wanted to open this place because she wanted to have a place in the neighborhood that people could get fresh food, fresh produce, and hopefully at a pretty reasonable price. So she's trying to make sure people have connections to local farms and local food.
Down the street is another art museum, the Mattress Factory.
My name is Joel. I mean, I've been coming to the Mattress Factory since I was in middle school. It always seemed like the type of place that's like especially weird for Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh has some weird things, but it kind of seems like a hub where people come together to see things that are more rare, maybe, in terms of art. It's not like Carnegie, it's not like mainstream type art or like just paintings or whatever. So ever since first coming here, I was like, damn, people get to work here. People get to do that as like their job. So then I was like, yeah, I'm down to do stuff like that. It's pretty chill. It's a pretty relaxed kind of job. We get to just hang out and wear cool outfits. I mean, I'm going to nursing school pretty soon, but I'll be doing this while doing that. I mean, I play music. I'm not necessarily as into, like, physical media, but I like looking at it. I mean, there's a lot of different bands around Pittsburgh that kind of do, like, noise rock or, like, kind of electronic rock type stuff, and that's kind of what I'm involved in.
Now returning is Detective Lark with recent news about the events that have transpired. Our officers have found a survivor of this strange occurrence, and after a short interview, we have reconstructed what might have happened on that night.
Hey Doc, I know it's late, but can I ask you some?
What is it?
Have you ever had bad dreams?
Occasionally? What has been troubling you?
I can't sleep and I have these dreams about me losing all of my teeth in the sink.
I will check your teeth. Well, nothing seems to be wrong, but has anything been troubling you?
Have you ever had the feeling that you're being watched? I swear, somebody's watching me outside of my window last night.
So it's probably just the postman.
But Doc, it was on the second floor.
It's probably nothing. Yeah, I will prescribe you some Valium. It'll help you sleep like a baby. Take it. I should give you a ride home. It is late.
When you're camping in the wilderness with nothing except for a bunch of audio equipment, you have to find ways to entertain yourself.
Some of us drew or made friendship bracelets, others wrote songs, poems, and fiction.
Let's see what passions people were discovering or thinking about.
Hello, I am Ryan, and you're listening to the Sports Segment podcast, and I'll be talking about sports today. So, why do sports matter to me is my family growing up. I play a lot of sports. I play basketball, football, baseball, soccer. I played all these sports before. And my dad, I think he started getting me into football. This league, right? I mean, I was a baby, but it was like super cool. It was like I got to play in the spring showdown. It's in spring and it's like about the end of the school year. And I got invited. And I was like, I'm good at football. I should keep on pursuing this. You have your teammates, teamwork, and everything. You talk about a person doing this bad or this good. Like, say, Tom Brady. He's the GOAT of football and stuff like that. And you want to keep pursuing it because never give up. And if you're bad at something, my dad told me, everybody starts off bad and you do good. Well, that's all we have for now. But thanks for listening. This is Ryan signing off.
How do you guys think or notice that music has impacted your life?
It basically allows me to bond with people way more than I should because, you know, just having like one hobby is like not a lot of people may not have that hobby. So it just expands my variety of things to talk about with people.
Yeah.
I feel like music is just everywhere in my life. I like play two instruments. I play the piano and the cello, and I really enjoy playing both of them. But I also like listen to music constantly, and I really think it influences sometimes my mood, even like itself, the way I spend my time.
Probably like not having a good day or something, it like really helps me feel better. But even if I am, I just like listening to it because it makes me feel good.
Yeah, me too. I definitely think that it's like uplifting and it opens you to new things you haven't thought about before because it's, you know, it's like art, like it can be so meaningful. Just nice. I don't know. I feel like it's made my life a lot better.
There's something about going away to camp and really getting to know new people that feels poetic. My name is Lisa, and here's a poem I wrote during my time here. It's called The Moment Before.
Look, Lance, I feel watched. Who is that? How am I seen? Seen, watch, I'm being watched. Eyes twitch, twitch, blink. Brush hair, swift and sharp, eyes wide. They fly across the room, back and forth like a ping pong. Ping, ping, dark room, the light devoured by eyes. Look away, who's there? Who said that? Who is the beast staring back at me judgmentally? Who are you? Oh. Breathe. Breathe? I feel like a dehydrated dog. You look mad. Smile. No. Stop. Eyes are puffy and red. I collapse to the floor in a ball. Head and hands, reflection gone. I am still watched. Let's see what everyone else here has to say about poetry.
So, what is poetry? What do you think poetry is?
Poetry is like when people take words and then they put them in a certain way. So the words kind of mean a different thing than what the words mean. So they make all of the collection of words mean something that all the words don't mean.
I think for me, it's like an outlet a lot of the time to say things that I can't figure out how to say, or it's just something fun to do, but poetry is really important to me.
I think it's different from regular storytelling because there's a lot of like figurative language in what they're using, like metaphors and like different stuff. It's because people are smart and they use their words wisely.
Poetry comes like from life experience or the person experienced some kind of situation. So the person tells about the feelings, the experience of his life or her life. And yeah, that's basically what I think it is.
Do you think it can also be fictional, or do you think poetry is like something that happened in
your
life?
I think it can be fictional, like some kind of part could be fictional, but I think mostly it could be true.
Okay, I can see that. I think poetry is different from regular storytelling. I feel like it has its own like vibe to it. I think it can be expressed differently. I think you can write it in many different ways, and I think it can be fictional or realistic. But I think a lot of poetry is written to express emotions or things that has happened before.
What do you guys think makes a poem good?
Maybe like the writer's experience, because like if you have more experience, you might know what to like write or how they write it or like what they're writing about.
What makes a poem good is the meaning of it and like the words that they choose to use and like the story they choose to tell. Poetry is really important. I don't really know why it is, but I feel like it's good.
Why do you think poetry is important?
Because it allows readers to understand what the writer's writing about, because poetry, you're able to put a lot of emotion into it, and it just depends on how you do it. And it could just make it really graceful and like really enjoyable to read for the reader. So,
yeah. What do you guys think?
I think that poetry is also important because there's like a lot of other regular kinds of ways to tell stories, but like poetry offers like a different type.
Yeah, I also feel like in specific circumstances when you don't quite know how to like express your feelings, poetry might be a good outlet or like a roundabout way to like try to put your feelings into words.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's also really good to like spread ideas. It can just be like really helpful to people, like most storytelling or art.
This is Detective Lark returning. The victim began panicking again. After we got them to calm down, they reported that once they entered their home, they answered the phone only to hear a recording of themselves from a few hours ago when they were talking to the doctor. The victim also reported once they had turned their head to look into the kitchen, they heard whistling of the song, Hall of the Mountain King. It's unknown what exactly is happening, but if you believe you've taken a pill, contact the Poison Control Center as soon as possible and isolate yourself from any other humans. This has been Detective Lark signing off.
Some of us became philosophers during our time camping. Let's hear what Ira has to say about ethics and mortality.
This is Ira, reporting from the Youth Media Center at SLB Radio. If you were standing in front of a railroad track with five people tied to it, what would you do? What if there was a lever diverting the rapidly approaching trolley to a different track with only one person tied to it? These small problems are called trolley problems, and they test your morals and ethics based on what decisions you make compared to the general public. I'm going to talk about what each of these outcomes mean for you, ethically and logically. Going back to the first scenario from the beginning, the most likely action for you to take would be to pull the lever, since you can save five lives at the cost of only one. But what if we took the same scenario from the beginning and replaced the lone person with one of your closest family members, or your best friend? If you even somewhat care about them, you'd let the five strangers succumb to their fate if it means saving someone close to you. You'd abandon your morals in a heartbeat just so you don't have to suffer and mourn their loss. Have you thought about the families of the people that you let die? Going back to the very first problem again, you have to stop and think for a moment. Are all these deaths your fault? If you diverted the train, the lone person's death would technically be caused by you, since they would have been unharmed otherwise if you didn't pull the lever. I'll leave you with one last little sentiment. Think about things a little deeper. It might lead to a change of heart and lead you to think about things from a different perspective. Finally, one last question. If the trolley was on a track that was infinitely long and going around in circles forever, would you let the passengers suffer? Or pull the lever and explode the trolley? For Youth Express, this is Ira, signing off.
The fire is getting low.
And I am not chopping up any more wood!
We got to meet so many interesting people this week, not just campers, but around the north side.
Let's see if anyone has any advice or words of wisdom to send us on our way. Play the outro music, Laura. That's not the outro music!
Hello.
What's your name?
My name is Annette.
Here with SLB Radio, we are making a podcast, so we're going to go around and interview people, ask about their occupation, and any advice they may have.
Sure.
Where do you work?
I work at Pittsburgh Public Schools as a teacher.
What's some advice you would give to any new teacher?
I think my biggest piece of advice is to be intentional about what you're doing, to remember that teaching, while it might feel very personal, is not always personal, and to trust that things will get better the more that you do it, and it's your first time trying to go through the lesson, but that doesn't mean that you can't reflect and grow, so you'll get stronger each time.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Last question.
Sure.
What's some advice you would give to your students?
Advice to my students, for them as students right now or in the future?
In the future.
The biggest thing I try to teach to students is to be critical consumers of the world around them, to try to think through what they're seeing, especially like in advertisements, what the advertisers want them to think and do, as well as when they're reading a piece of literature or watching a TV show, trying to take in as much information as they can, form their own thoughts about it, discuss with other people. So just to continue doing that sort of thing, continue to build community with each other and with other people from different schools or from different backgrounds, and just to try to keep working together to make the world better.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
What's your name?
My name's Hannah.
What do you do for a living?
Right now, I'm an intern or resident clinical psychologist at Allegheny General Hospital.
That's really cool. I was wondering if your job has taught you any lessons so far.
That's a great question. So I just started. In general, I think my job teaches me a lot about people and how we all face different challenges in life, but we can all get through those challenges with some support from others.
Do you have any advice you would give to like other young people trying to get into the same profession as you?
If you want to go into a helping profession, we need people. We need people to come and help and be kind of those support systems for people who might not have them. So if you want to get into psychology, if you're interested in the human experience, then keep going on in school and remember to be there for your friends, because that's kind of how it starts.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Good luck, you guys. Have a nice day. Thanks.
I got a minute, yeah?
Okay. What's your name?
I'm Ashley.
What do you do for a living?
I am a middle school math teacher.
Has your job taught you any like life lessons or advice that you wouldn't normally hear from somebody?
I think one that we forget about is, you know, being human is the first step to anything. And so you want to treat other people, of course, the way that you want to be treated, and acknowledge that we're all in it together. And so I think whenever I'm starting out with a new group of students, I always try to establish, you know what, I'm human, you're human, we've all got stuff that we're dealing with in our lives, because, you know, we have lives outside of this classroom. Math is great, but it's also not the thing that we're going to be running into every day. And so be human first, and then go from there.
Do you have any advice that you would like to give to anybody who's trying to become a teacher, like you too?
So it is a very interesting time to be thinking about being a teacher. There's a lot that has changed from when I was a student, when your parents and older family members might be, have been a student. And so I think, really think about what it is that you're trying to do as a teacher. Are you trying to, you know, change the world? Are you trying to help students see the best version of themselves? And then find a way to match that to what you are doing.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. Yeah.
As you get older, appreciate the young kids. As you get older, appreciate the young kids. Do everything you can when you're young, and when you get older, you want to help the young kids do whatever they want to achieve. That's the best advice. Help people out, help your neighbors, be nice to people.
What's your name again?
My name is Joe, and this is my granddaughter, Kinley.
Thank you both so much for your
Thank
time.
Thank you.
It was really nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you. Good luck.
We only have a little more time together.
What do you guys think you learned over the week?
Something that I think I learned over the week is that I feel comfortable to talk to more people now than I normally do.
Ira, what do you think?
I've learned how to, like, use the equipment here a lot better and easier now.
I've learned to, like, write better. I didn't, like, learn about podcasts before this, and this is my first one. It's fun. Like saying stuff that you can't like just randomly say out, you can like speak out.
I think that I've gotten more used to my voice, and I think that that's useful in some way, maybe like confidence-wise, finding my voice.
So what I think I would use my voice for is probably like voice acting. I like people when they like cartoons and they actually like voice the characters. So that's something I maybe want to do when I grow up.
I'd like to use it for fun stuff. To add on to, like, what Amir said, probably use it for voice acting, but also, like, audiobooks. I feel like I enjoy that. Like, reading for the blind and stuff like that, I feel like I enjoy that.
I think if I used my voice for something, it would definitely be theater and musicals. I think it really helps that everything else is dark and you can't really see, like, the people's faces. I think it just makes you feel like you're talking to the void. Because it, like, helps you realize that maybe there's, like, nobody judging you and you can just, you're, like, free to do whatever.
On YouTube, people are mic'd up and stuff at their, like, baseball games, and I'm a pitcher, so, like, sports broadcasts sometimes.
I maybe would want to use my voice to sing or, like, maybe, like, read. I think that it's just really powerful to, like, use your voice. Like, I'm, like, letting a part of myself out, maybe something that's like kind of painful, or maybe it's something that I really love and that's really like meaningful and good to me, and I want to share that.
Since I really like singing, I would obviously use it for singing, but I also really want to get into musical theater again, but a lot of kids in my school are really competitive with that, so I don't know how well I would do.
Personally, I think that she would shine and that she would be better than everybody else, and they'd start crying because she was so good.
I never heard her singing, but I believe in you.
She sings good.
Amazingly, so.
Yeah, I think you would do great.
Well, I think we're out of marshmallows. Thanks for listening.